Great. Well, thanks to everybody for joining us today. I'm Stuart McGoo from Site Concern Worcestershire, and today I've got the pleasure of introducing Graham Page from Vital Tech, which is based at the Thomas Pocklington Trust. And Graham's going to be sort of talking about lots of different types of technology today, with a kind of focus on how we might adapt to using technology in the first place, because things can be a bit scary if you've not used stuff before. And he might have a few bits of tech up his sleeve that we've not seen before, which might be interesting for everyone. And so I'm going to hand over to Graham now. And thank you for joining us, Graham.
Okay, no problem, Stuart. So my name's Graham Page, and as you said, I work for Thomas Pocklington Trust, and I'm involved in we create a website called Vital Tech, which is available at www.vitaltech.org.uk. And really, this is a portal where people can search for anything connected with particularly access technology for people who are visually impaired. And the idea is we've tried to keep the website small and easy to use, really concentrating on keeping it, keeping it to a minimum, yet displaying all the information that's needed and, trying to make searches relevant. So, it's often quite a good place to start. We are introducing some reviews and things like that, but essentially, it's a place where you can look for information about technology, where you'll get a list of other, relevant websites and organizations where you can buy the technology and some descriptions of it. While, obviously, I've certainly mentioned the Vital Tech website, quite a lot of what I've been asked to discuss today is general kind of technology, using technology, and the sort of questions you might want to ask yourself if you're thinking of starting to dip your toe in the water. Obviously, everyone who's on this group has, to some extent, embraced technology. You're all here on Zoom. So, because you're all here on Zoom, you all have some kind of technology. When it's smaller groups, I tend to go around and ask perhaps a little people to introduce themselves and what they're using, but I probably won't do that today because if it's the case that we've only got an hour, we'd spend probably about half an hour doing that. So, I mean, I'm happy to do whatever you normally do, Stuart, but I presume it's okay not to actually ask everyone for their introductions because it'd take a while. What do you reckon?
Yeah, just
I mean,
go with
I'm happy to do
it.
it either way. I'm happy to do whatever you normally do during these sessions. So really there's a few kinds of technology perhaps worth highlighting and some new things, but just as importantly are people's questions. Because when you're trying to look at technology, I mean, I'm a totally blind person myself. Obviously there'll be lots of people on here, I imagine, who have some useful vision. And the question is all, but whatever you're using, the question is really what thinking about what you want the technology to do, thinking why you might want it and whether you really need it. So as a simple example, I mean, of this, you could buy you could have a phone or a tablet or a computer, and you could talk about being interested in using social media. But if you are interested in using social media, what do you need to use and why, and do you need it at all, are all the kind of questions, worth asking. It's the same as there's lots of different ways of reading books, but which way is best for you? What are the pros and cons? What would be simplest? And if you're totally new to this kind of technology, then there's no doubt that it can often be helpful to either ask people for advice or have some, or if there's a you know, if you're the sort of person that's really never used this kind of technology ever before, to have a friend or family member or person nearby that you can consult is often really helpful for people. So the kind of things, there's lots of different kinds of technology here we could discuss. But given that this session presumably has been planned for a while and people have had information about it, I want to know if people have got any questions, which would, because quite often people's advice, people can advise each other on using technology, and this can, as well as knowing what you want to use it for, people's advice is often really invaluable. There are so many areas of technology, whether it be phones, computers, and tablets, or reading books, or finding a way of reading books, or using a simple kind of phone. It might be that you don't and there's lots of different kinds of phones. There are phones with buttons, and there are touchscreen phones, phones where you can magnify the text, phones where you can use them like little computers, and phones that, well, just basically act like phones. So, in terms of reading books, we could discuss lots of different ways. Reading books are available in audio or text. And there's lots of different ways in which books could be read. Do you want a device for email? Do you need to listen to the radio? Technology is everywhere, and it's a case of working out perhaps what you want to do and finding the best kind of solution from there. Are you a person that loves fiddling with technology, or are you a person that's a little bit wary of it? All these things are questions. Everyone's so different that, it's quite hard often, to pitch things at a level that everyone will be, everyone will find useful. And I don't really know the group, so this is why I'd like to, see if we have a load of questions that people have got, and then we can start to take things from there.
I've got a question. Looking to try and find the best application or program to use for navigating outside in strange places.
Well, that's another an area of technology that I hadn't even mentioned as yet, but that's another very good area for use. Most of the products work using a, for use outside, work using a mobile phone. There are individual products that you can, sort of standalone products that you can use. Although these are fewer and fewer, the most commonly available one is probably the new Trekker Stream, available from Humanware, which combines a book reader with a GPS system for navigation. That's at the more expensive end because it's a standalone product. But if you want to use something on an existing phone that you've got already, there are programs such as Microsoft Soundscape. There are programs, such as Lazarillo, Lazarillo. I will put these in some kind of notes, because I realize that there might be a lot of different program names and stuff floating about here, but Lazarillo is a free one that offers what's called turn-by-turn navigation, which means that you can put a route in and it will tell you where to go. Microsoft Soundscape works best with headphones. There are headphones that leave your ears quite open, which are known as bone conduction headphones, and they don't actually go over your ears. They go on your head round your ear, and it means that your ears are open. Do you have some sight, or are you a totally blind person in terms of, would you be wanting to use magnification to look at what you're doing, or would you want a solution that can talk?
It would be something that would talk, because I see just like shapes and shadows of things.
Yeah.
So it's just, I describe it as like looking through a bathroom window.
Yeah. And do you have a phone already?
Yeah, I've got an Apple iPhone, and I have tried Soundscape. I've also got the Bone Conduction headphones as well. I can't remember the name of them now, but they're a really good make.
There's the Trek. I can't remember what the very latest ones are called, because they keep bringing out different kinds of them. But yeah, there are a few makes of. There are a couple of makes of headphones that are. Sorry, was there someone saying something there?
No, I don't think no. So. Just so. You're okay, Graham. Thank you.
Sorry about that. So that these bone conduction headphones, I can. Various companies sell them. The aftershocks.
Yeah, I think that's the name of the ones I've got. But obviously, using Soundscape is great because it tells you the name of the road that you're on and the direction you're traveling and any crossings you come across. But the thing that it missed out, and I think they left it out purposely, was the turn-by-turn navigation.
Yeah. Try Lazarillo, Lazarillo.
Yeah.
Which is free. And that offers turn-by-turn navigation. That's quite a good sort of standalone solution. Otherwise, you can use things. You can use programs in conjunction with Google Maps or Apple Maps, such as Blind Square, for example. But that's more of an expensive solution. It has its advantages in that you can. I mean, all of these turn-by-turn navigation programs have their advantages in that you can store points of interest. But as a free one to start off with, I would certainly try Lazarillo.
Yeah, I mean, I tried the Google Maps by itself, and it didn't seem to keep up. You'd be walking along, and you'd go across a junction, and then all of a sudden it would tell you to turn back because you've walked past a junction that you should have turned at.
Yeah.
Sort of misses where you actually are, which I find surprising, because when you're driving a car, it is quite accurate.
Yeah. It does tend to depend on the phone that you're using and various other things. It should be reasonably accurate with Apple Maps. But, something like Google Maps won't always speak what you're coming up to, as you say, in a timely way. It might display it on the screen. You also need to set the mode that you're using to walking rather than driving.
Yeah.
Which can help, so that it knows that you're walking, and so it gives you an appropriate warning, when you're sort of, 5 or 6, 10 yards away or 10 meters away from a road, rather than perhaps 25 or something that you might get when you're driving.
Yeah, I do have it set to the walking mode. It's probably just where I'm walking. I might not have a proper signal on the phone, but I've always found it quite patchy, and it's quite delayed in giving directions. But I'll try that Lazarillo and give that one a go.
Okay.
Has anybody heard of the WeWalk ones?
WeWalk is something, an adaptation for your cane. WeWalk is. I mean, I've not had a chance to play with WeWalk yet, though I have come across it.
Yeah.
But my understanding of WeWalk is that's more of something that can that you can connect to your cane, which helps you. It's one of these programs that helps you know what's around you, what's in front of you, so that you don't walk into obstacles. But I've not really looked at WeWalk in major detail as yet.
Yeah, they do have a navigation section within it, but unfortunately, they're for people who don't own their cane, which is quite expensive to get, they're actually starting a subscription service to it. So instead of it being free to use, you're going to have to start paying for it on a monthly basis. So just wondering if anybody had tried anything like that.
Yeah. Is there anyone that has tried WeWalk? I've certainly read about it, but I'd say I've not. I just use an ordinary cane.
Great. I mean, it's just Tim's science advice. Following the conversation you're both having, but is there a good combination to be had then between apps and cane?
A cane, I would say that you do need to either use a cane or a dog. None of these apps certainly replace the cane.
But these new canes with the new, object recognition on them, has anybody come up with a combination that seems to work quite well using it with an app? Because apps will tell you where you are, but it won't necessarily tell you there's a drop curve, will it?
No, I mean, I've personally found that I know a few people who've used a lot of these canes, and I don't know anyone who's really used them successfully for a long period of time, because it was the Ultra cane, people might remember that. They were sort of £500 a go. The problem with a lot of these devices that connect to your canes is that they have to be very sturdy, because obviously they're connected to a cane. It does seem to me that people are still trying. I mean, there was the K-Sonus as well was another one that, isn't made anymore. I'd like to think eventually that someone will create something that's really robust enough to make it. I suppose just to make the whole thing worthwhile, make it worth paying for.
I don't think you'll ever replace the good old fashioned guide dog. my guide dog Diamond is absolutely fantastic about getting me around things and avoiding things. And also finding the park as well. She likes finding the park for me.
Well, obviously, yeah, that all does too.
Yeah, so it's just what I was just wanting to, like you said, try finding a different app to put on my phone. And I think I'll try that Lazarillo. It sounds quite good.
That's quite a good one that won't cost you any money. That's another area of technology. I mean, the other things I didn't mention, radio and television. People often wonder what the best way of listening to the radio is. Internet radio helps with some of this, though it's not as good as having a standard radio if you want to listen to, say, football or cricket. If you have apps on your phone that notify you of scores, because the radio on the internet is so far behind, you sometimes get the scores on your phone before the commentary actually commentates on them. But nevertheless, for most purposes, listening to the radio using either a smart speaker or your phone is really good.
Yeah, I've used the BBC Sounds.
Well, there is BBC Sounds. Wireless for the Blind are developing apps for both Android and the iPhone as well.
Their speech radio is very good now.
Yeah, it's starting to look good.
Yeah, works very well with iOS.
Yeah, and Android as well. It's also worth pointing out that some of this stuff will work quite well with Android, and in particular, you can buy Android phones that cost a lot less money. Might not always perhaps be as smooth as iOS with speech, and it might not be as familiar, but I've demonstrated Google produce a program called Google Lookout. She's quite good for using for scanning text and reading food labels. And that works. I mean, I was using that on a Nokia 5.3, which costs less than £150. It's not as smooth. It's not as smooth as iOS, but for people who are interested in fiddling around with technology, that's certainly something interesting to play with.
The other thing with the speech radio from British Wireless for the Blind, you can still pick up foreign stations, which you can't now with your Alexa or your Google. It's all been cut off, and same as with TuneIn radio.
There was a dispute between TuneIn and Sony Warner Brothers back in 2019, it might be mid-2018. And they only now let you listen to stuff that's licensed to listen to here, which is quite annoying. There are ways around it with your smart speaker if you use a skill called My Tuner Radio.
Does it have to be with Alexa, though, rather than Google?
No, yeah, I don't think it works. I don't know of one that works with Google.
Mind you, it works fine with the speech radio, so that works good. Yeah. With the British Wireless one, that's the easiest way. Go on there and you can put them all in your favourites and just jump through them all.
Yeah, and you can either use it with your phone with gestures, or you can use it with... you can use it with voice.
Yes.
But any other questions? Because as I say, there's lots of areas of technology, and I don't want to hog things. I want to give everyone a chance.
Hello, Graham.
Hello.
Graham, it's Dave Atkinson. I'm a member of Blind Veterans.
Yeah.
The chap has just been talking. I use an iPhone. I do have some sight. I've got macular degeneration, so I do have some sight. But I think the iPhone is fantastic for magnifying. And if you turn on accessibility with your headphones on, so nobody else is listening, it'll read anything you want to you.
Yeah, it will indeed.
And I'd certainly be interested. I don't at the end of this meeting, but do they? Do you email the things about what you've said about this Lazarillo thing?
Yeah, I will certainly email. I mean, when I mentioned progress, as I said, I could email this stuff to Stuart. I don't know, Stuart, whether you can.
I'd be interested in checking on that, Lazarillo,
to other group members.
Yeah, we can circulate anything to everyone. That's not a problem.
This app is available on iPhone and Android.
Yeah, I forgot to introduce myself before. My name's Colin Adamson, and I'm also a Blind Veterans member.
Yeah.
Colin, yeah.
I've also come across some people in Blind Veterans who were using the Synaptec mobile phones.
Yeah.
Which I think are particularly good for people with a little bit of vision. I think it seems particularly helpful in that situation because it divides the screen up into large areas so that you can more easily see where to touch the screen. And that works on any Android phone, but they can also sell you a phone with that software on it. And I've seen people using that for Facebook and an email and one thing and another.
Doesn't it make it a little bit more difficult to get out of the Synaptic and just use the phone for everything else?
Though? Yeah, it does. That is a downside. It is its own environment. It's its own kind of, word is sort of walled garden. Yeah. You're stuck with what they let it work with. And that's an issue really generally with a lot of specialist technology. The advantage is that it can make things easier to navigate. The disadvantage is that you are stuck with what they give you access to.
Yeah.
That can be an issue, but it's fair to say that with phones, not everybody wants an all singing or dancing phone, because I remember getting used to the touch screen, Now, I got used to using a touchscreen fairly quickly, within a day or two, but using it quickly and efficiently is something that takes a bit more, you know, rather more time for, you know, even people who are really enthusiastic about technology.
Yeah, I remember when I first got my iPhone and I was trying to use the voiceover connections on it, or the system on it, and I was getting so frustrated because I couldn't use the correct gestures and I couldn't remember what to do for what. And I think somebody gave me a tip when using the voiceover. He called it a split tap, where if you use one finger, as he described it, as your eyeball to move around the screen, and then you don't take that finger off the screen, but then when you found that what program you want to open, you then touch the screen with another finger.
Yeah, and that then also works for people.
So I found that one of the best tips ever for using the screen that way.
Mm. Yeah, you can use it either that way, or you can find the thing you want, lift your finger up and just do a double tap anywhere on the screen. Either way works.
Yeah. I always used to find I was not hitting the same spot at the same time. So
okay,
I was struggling opening the apps.
No, it's, I mean, there are gestures you need to get used to, whether it's an iPhone or Android using. The swipe left and right gestures are really useful.
What I was quite surprised to find was that the rotor works on the Apple Watch.
Yeah.
I didn't know that. I just tried it out of sort of a random thing the other day. Somebody asked me if I could slow down their Apple phone. And I just thought, how do you do that? I thought you did it on the phone, you know, and then did it that way. But anyway, I tried the rotor and it worked. I was like, okay.
What you can also do with the rotor, which is a nice little gesture, if you go to accessibility and commands and gestures, I'll put this actually in the notes, the exact. But you can change what gesture does what. One of the gestures that doesn't seem to be used for anything much is a two-finger swipe left and swipe right. Mm-hmm. And you can change the rotor to be a two-finger swipe left or a two-finger swipe right if you find the rotor gesture difficult.
Yeah, it's a bit hard, isn't it, if your fingers are a bit big.
Yeah, so some people just find it awkward. I don't think you can do that. I don't think you can do it on the watch at this stage, but you can on the phone.
Ah, right, okay.
That sounds good.
Well, it would have been good on the watch, because as I said, it's the watch you have the trouble with, because your fingers are like a bit too big almost.
Yeah,
to...
it can be. It can be tricky. It is also worth pointing out, we've not heard from, you know, everyone who's here. I believe there are 23 people, or there were. There are simpler phones as well, if all you want is a phone. In particular, there's two, really. There's a Blind Shell Classic, which is a phone. It's available from Steve Nutt at Computer Room Services, or Moby Nick Ball at Tahira Technology, which, again, I'll put in an email because I can never remember how to spell it myself. I do have a file. I can look it up in, and I'll put the details in an email. But the Blind Shell Classic is it's an in-between kind of phone. It's got proper push buttons on it. It's got things like basic email and an FM radio, and obviously the phone and contacts and there's a book reader app and one or two other things. It's still quite expensive. I think you're looking around about the £300 mark, but it's not as expensive as a new iPhone. And for people who just want a phone, that is one option. There's also the Emporia range of phones that RNIB have recently started doing, in particular one called the Blueberry, which is £125, and that's just a phone and contacts and text messages, but it all talks.
The R&IB do the iPhones now, don't they? They do the iPhone SE and...
Yeah, they do the iPhones as well. I mean...
And I think they do a 3 years warranty on those, which is pretty good.
Yeah, they do an extra warranty, and that's what one of the good things about it. I do believe, though, that if you buy through R&IB, there's no... If you buy through an Apple store, you've got longer to try it out.
Mm-hmm.
I think you've got a month to try the phones out from the Apple store. And, so that's an advantage. But the R&IB, you have a longer warranty. I don't know whether that's all with Apple, though. I'm not sure how all that works. Because if you buy an Apple phone from... your provider or, Currys or whatever, you can take it you can take it to an Apple store and they will honor that warranty. So I don't know exactly what the R&IB warranty is.
I would suggest it's probably going to be the first year you could probably take it to an Apple store, and the next two you'd probably have to do something via R&IB.
Yeah, I mean, because R&IB don't always repair their own equipment. They'll often refer you back to the manufacturer. I mean, they did that a lot with those accessible computers that they did. So I'm not sure. It's definitely best to talk to R&IB on that one. If you ring the helpline number and ask for the Technology for Life team, they should be able to. Well, I suppose sales should be able to tell you. But if not, Technology for Life will.
Yeah.
They always seem very helpful, whichever way you get in contact with them. So that seems pretty good.
Yeah. Is any other questions from people? I mean, I do have some things I can discuss if there are not.
I suppose.
I was going to say something then, but I'll let somebody else say something.
No, I do carry on. So I was going to ask a question about himself, but you carry on with your question.
All right. Yeah. Just really, you mentioned audiobooks before, or reading and things like that. I use a couple of different things. I've got Calibre, which deliver the audiobooks via a USB stick.
Yeah.
And then on the iPhone, I can access the R&IB's audiobook library through an app. I think it's called Dolphin Easy Reader.
That's correct. And that'll do Calibre books as well.
Yeah.
So for anyone who doesn't know, R&IB is probably the biggest talking book library in the UK in terms of freely available services. Calibre has also been around for quite a long time, and that's probably the next biggest. There is, there is Audible Books, which is run by Amazon, where you pay for books. There is Audible, where you pay for books, but Amazon, you end up, depending on exactly what package you get, you end up paying £7 odd per credit or per audio book, but you can keep them.
Yeah.
There are limits on the devices you can have them on. And if you get Audible books, if you get books from R&IB, you can get them on a USB stick, and R&IB, as well as other people, sell USB book players made by a company called Sovereign. There's a Sonic 2, and I think the other one's called the Solo. And what's good about those is, for people who are a bit wary about using the technology, but who want to use a book, they're dead simple to use. I mean, there's three or four buttons, and most, it should be within most people's grasp.
Yeah, I've got one of those little speakers, and like you said, it's just got, I think, three buttons on top. You put your USB stick in, and then you've got your play, and then
it just goes
backwards and forwards. it's really, really good, because if you turn it off, it remembers the part of book you're at as well, so you don't have to.
Yes, it is quite simple to use. But then if you want to listen to them and you want to be able to, you can wind through books, but obviously you have to wait for your book to arrive. The other way of listening to the book, there are a few ways now. There is, you can use what's called a Dolphin Easy Reader app, which is free. And there is also the A-Lady, I won't say her name because in case I set them all off in people's houses, but the Amazon smart speakers will now let you play RNIB books. You can say enable RNIB talking books. It's a little bit, it's a new skill, and it can be a little bit, it works quite well if you just want to listen to your way through a book, but when you wind back, you can only go backward and forward a chapter. This is an Amazon limitation, not an RNIB limitation. If you try and go to the table of contents and you want to go to a particular chapter and you want to move around through a book, you want to refer to different bits of the book, it's a bit fiddly for that. But it's great if it's quite good if you just want to listen to a book, and it's certainly a good way of sampling a book without having to download the whole thing. So you just say, enable RNIB talking book skill. You have to go through a one-off process of linking it to your RNIB reading services account, which is where the books come from. And then once you've done that, then you can ask her to play books.
Sounds good.
And she will. Something else I was going to say on reading books, which is the other thing that RNIB do, which might be also worth people looking at, is they do the news agent service for £39 a year. And for that, you can go to their website and download any newspaper. It comes out early in the morning, sort of 6 in the morning-ish. They also do various monthly magazines such as Which, PC Advisor, and BBC Good Food and various BBC magazines. And you can also read those using the Dolphin Easy Reader app as well. So the RNIB news agent at £39 a year is a bargain, really.
So Tim cited Vice South.
Yeah.
While you're on, I was going to, obviously you have a lot of, because of your job and your role, you have a lot of knowledge about lots of different devices and solutions, but which ones have you actually settled on and why?
Well, for the smart speakers, I have both, because I think they're both, they both have their strengths and weaknesses. However, I think probably I would say the A-Lady would be the best one to go for overall, because there's a lot of different skills. It's available in various different sizes and shapes, and really the best one to go for is dependent on what kind of sound you want. So if you want something that's like the equivalent of having a small transistor radio in your room, then probably the Echo Dot is a great option. It's £50 full price, but it's often available for less. For using the phone, primarily I'm an iPhone user, but Android is very interesting, particularly, I think, if you can't quite afford an iPhone. I use my phone for reading paper documents, such as letters as well. And for me, on the iPhone in particular, my personal favorite is an app called VoiceStream. Well, VoiceStream Reader was the original program. Then they bought out VoiceStream Scanner. And then they combine the VoiceDreams scanner. It can be bought combined into VoiceDream Reader, or you can still buy the VoiceDream scanner app separately. But so it's called VoiceDream, and that for me has been the one that I find best. There is a free Microsoft app called Seeing AI, which works pretty well.
Yeah, that's the one I use. I find that really good for letters and small documents and things.
I'm happy, you know, if people have got questions for them to ask, because I realise that in this kind of session, you're going through it all a bit at kind of breakneck pace. And sometimes, you know, so if people have got questions, but I'm going too fast and it's gobbledygook, I'm quite keen for people to pipe up and ask.
I've been trying Speak AI just recently, but I find that you have to combine VoiceOver with the built-in voice of the package, and you have to switch one to the other. I find it difficult to find the buttons.
What app were you using, sorry, for?
I think it's called Speak AI, is it?
The Seeing AI, which is a Microsoft one. Is that the Seeing one you mean? But there's only one voice. What are you using it for? Reading books?
Yeah. It's got various options. It'll read a barcode on a bottle, for example. Or yeah.
Seeing AI isn't bad, but it is a free program.
Yeah.
And that's why I do suggest VoiceDream Scanner for reading, particularly reading paper documents. For reading bottles and PC screen stuff, Seeing AI certainly isn't bad, and it is still being developed.
Excuse me.
And there's a lot of... We had a discussion last night in one of our WhatsApp groups about Sullivan Plus, which can be used on Android, of course, which seems to be gathering a few fans, should we say.
I've not been that impressed with it, but then everyone's different. I didn't find it particularly accurate. It is again a free option. If you find one that works well for you, then run with it. But yeah, Sullivan Plus is another one, and it is free. Whereas VoiceDream Scanner, I think for the app that does the paper documents, is £6, just as a one-off payment. I will have to check prices, but I think VoiceDream Reader, which includes that and the ability to read a whole range of documents such as PDFs and Word documents and all sorts of stuff, is I think that's about £18. Again, a one-off payment. I find that using your phone for reading is really one of the things that I do with it quite a lot, because there's no one in my house to read documents that come through the door.
I must admit, I installed something called KNFB Reader on my phone.
Yeah, I wouldn't.
Which was supposedly highly... I find it rubbish.
When it was first about, but it's really been superseded pretty much.
Quite expensive and
not as good
as a freebie, you know.
I wouldn't really buy it. I mean, as I say, Seeing AI is okay as a freebie. You mentioned VoiceDream, £6. That's, again, nothing really. Whereas Kurt's KNFB Reader was nearer £100 full price.
Oof. Wow.
That's right, and it's rubbish.
Well, it worked quite well when it was first produced, but then they've messed about with the formatting of everything, and it's pretty awkward now, unfortunately.
One of the things I find inaccessible is television. I've got central vision loss. I never know what is on the telly, so I don't know what to look for anyway. I've got a remote control with about 50 buttons on it, tiny buttons. And I can't see, if even if I do push the buttons, I can't tell what number is coming up on the screen. So I find television totally inaccessible.
Yeah, I mean, television can be difficult. There are a few things you can look at. Companies such as Samsung and LG and others do now have something called voice guide or voice guidance. Generally, if you look in the settings menu, which all TVs have, you'll find something called voice guide. If it exists, the hardest thing can be to know when it exists and when it doesn't. It's getting into more and more models slowly. But if you're looking for a telly, my advice is probably to go along to a store and actually play with them. If you can take someone along that can help, all the better. If you know someone in a local store that can give you advice, that's prepared to go through things with you and do what you want rather than what they want to get commission. You ask them to, so look in settings and accessibility, and you should find, if the feature exists on your current TV, it'll be called something like voice guidance.
But can I just say, on my Sky control, I've got a big button in the middle. I just push that and say BBC One or ITV3 or Sky News, and it puts it on for me.
Yeah.
Sky have also up their apps, haven't they?
Yeah, Sky Q.
Yeah,
there's a new...
And that is a help for me.
Yeah,
Sky Q is also accessible. There is this thing on channel 555, which works on some tellies, which provides an accessible channel guide. I've not been able to try it because on my telly, it talks. It's a Samsung which talks, but that channel 555 isn't accessible. There is a voice remote that you, certainly with Samsung phones, that you can buy, which allows you to talk to them, and the buttons are a bit more accessible.
I think Virgin Media are also bringing out a new system. I think they call it Virgin 360. And I think it's going to be a similar thing to the Sky Q, where you can press a button and voice search for all the channels or even an actual program that you're wanting to watch. And it should find it on the actual, whatever channel it's on, and you should be given an option to watch it. So I'm hopefully going to get in contact with them and see if I can get one to try it.
I mean, the odd thing and the ironic thing is that, as things stand, unless you use an internet radio, radios are less accessible than TV. I don't know what that was, something rattling my door. I think it's just post.
Can I just chime in just to say that we've got about 5 minutes left of this session. So if there's, you know, any other questions that people have got burning that they want to ask, you know, shout out right now. Sorry, Graham, carry on.
Yeah, I just think I've tried to give some of the ideas of the things that I tend to use. So for scanning and reading documents, I use VoiceStream. For Twitter, I do use Twitter. And on the iPhone, this is only on the iPhone, there's a program called Twitterific, which I'd highly recommend. There is a free version, or to remove adverts, you can pay £9 a year.
Pardon me.
Ask away.
Can I ask a general question on the iPhone? Do you know how to copy and paste? Because I've never worked that.
This is where you use a rotor.
Right.
So what you do is you find text you want to copy. If you go into settings accessibility and voiceover, and rotor. Yeah. One of the things that you can make appear on the rotor is text selection.
Right.
And if you start to do that, what you can do is you can go to the text you want. You can use a rotor to get to text selection. And then you can use a one finger flick up and down, which changes what you select. And then you use, once you suggest what you're going to select, whether it be line or word or character, whatever, then you do, you flick left or right to select what you want to select.
Yeah.
And then when you've selected what you want, you use the rotor to go to edit. And then if you flick up and down with one finger, you'll have find various options, including copy.
Right.
And paste is also in the edit menu. And again, you get to it by using the rotor. So you get to that by using the rotor.
Right. Yeah. Oh, that sounds good. Yeah, I've never really worked that out. And it's always a nuisance when you want to put something in a different box. And it's like, you know.
Yeah, how do you select it? Of course.
Braille it out or do you read it on one course, device? And
of course, it's worth bearing in mind that you can also use keyboards on these devices. Bluetooth keyboards as a whole load, and I don't know necessarily what the best one is. I've got a Logitech I'm trying to remember its model, but I've got a Logitech Bluetooth keyboard. But I just can't remember its model number at the moment. But it's a few years, it's a couple of years old, so it's probably superseded. There are lots of different kinds of Bluetooth keyboards, you know, different sizes and but they all broadly do the same thing.
Yes.
And using those can also help. So you can do same keys as Windows. You can use shift and arrows to select. And then I think it's Control C and Control copy and Control V to paste.
Hello.
So, fortunately, that's something that you can do quite easily with the iPhone, which is great.
Yeah.
Any other questions?
Not got any questions for myself and any for the rest of today, but just like to say thank you for all your advice that you're giving out. It's great.
Yes, thank you very much.
Great.
It's been a bit kind of rattling through because I don't know, obviously, everyone on this group. It's kind of throwing a few things out. I'm very happy to be involved in helping with discussion, any of the kind of areas we've sort of discussed in a bit more depth. I mean, whether it be reading, whether it be what kind of phone's best to use, or whether it be, what's the best way of reading printed material, whether it be, you know, different screen readers available on a PC.
Mm. Yeah, there's something that's... Vicky's online here. She's muted. Vicky from Sutton.
Yeah.
This is Tim Sides Advice, South Lakes again, and Anthony. The three of us might want a little chat with you. We're doing something on navigation in a couple of months' times. We might want to just have a general chat with you about how we could run a session on navigation apps. Would you be up for that? Just a private chat.
Obviously, in some ways, it's a bit of a challenge in that we can't really easily demonstrate them. Because you need to be navigating in order to demonstrate them.
Yeah.
But it's something that certainly we could look at. Because as you know, if there are enough people who actually want to be able to use these navigation apps, I tend to see them as very useful aids. So don't forget the other kind of things you can do, you know, talking to people and asking people. But they are, you know, really useful for finding your way around. Even if it's to get kind of a second opinion and make sure you are where you think you are and make sure you know what your route's going to be. as I say, along with asking other people and using your cane, etc., they're a great help.
Yeah. We might give you a chat, a private chat. We're three tech coordinators and we're struggling to find really good solutions on navigation. So it's more of a brainstorm session. Okay, so we'll give you
that'd be fair enough, absolutely.
Excellent.
If I can, very quickly, on TVs, I've just taken delivery of a Sony TV, which is completely voice controlled. You don't have to use a remote with it. It's got Google Assist built into the software.
Well, that helps. It's great for finding what channel you want, but you would still probably need to enable voice guidance for using the TV.
Oh, yes, you use them all in combination.
Yeah, indeed.
But you just tell it power on and it turns it on. You can say to increase volume, change channels, select Netflix, search for Star Trek, Discovery, and so on and so forth. It does everything by voice.
There's quite a lot of tellies now starting to build this ability to use voice, either via the A-Lady or using Google Assistant. And this is really quite helpful, and obviously it's something that is that makes using the telly easier. Just wish we had the same with radio, that there is an RNIB digital radio which talks you through all the setup, but the thing that you really want it to do, which is read the station names, it doesn't do. So
that the £100 one or whatever it is, that one.
Yeah, I'm not really quite sure of the point. I mean, it's nice and accessible, I believe. The text's nice and big on it, at least.
I did I looked at that for British Wireless for the Blind because I'm one of their trustees. And I didn't find it very good at all.
I don't know what the text, because I can't see the
no, exactly. Text, I couldn't see the text either, but I didn't think that was a very good.
I just don't think there's a lot of point in having a talking setup but no station names. But and that they have, to be fair to RNIB, they now describe it as useful for people with low vision rather than being totally accessible, so that they have changed that to be.
I think it only had six saved stations that you could save as well, so three on digital and three on FM. There's not very many at all, is it? You're much better to look at the British Wireless for the Blind selection.
Well, even then, the British Wireless for the Blind selection, none of them are what you call truly accessible. I mean, I know that's not their fault because they don't, you know, they're relying on other manufacturers, but none of those are what you would call truly accessible if you don't have any sight. There's the Opus, which is, I mean, I have been known to read what station I'm on using a program on the phone, such as, you know, VoiceStream Scanner or Seeing.
Right,
Hold it above the display and read what station is on. But obviously that's a bit long-winded.
No, I mean, certainly the best way is using their new apps on the phone.
Yeah, but again, with DAB, that's great most of the time, unless you want to listen to something where the real-time bit matters, such as sport, because when you listen to stuff on the internet, it's usually at least 30 seconds behind, often more.
Yes, yeah. I don't do a lot of that really on more plays and stations and things.
But I do think it's a shame. It is a shame that radio isn't as accessible as TV. It's quite ironic.
Yeah.
Okay. If I can just interrupt, guys, we could talk on this subject for hours. There's lots of information, but unfortunately, we're going to have to draw this to a close because we're a little over time now. But we'd just like to say a massive thanks to Graham for joining us today and giving us all this amazing information. And thank you all for joining us as well and having being with us to listen. So thanks very much.
And as I say, and if people have particular things or areas that they want to know a bit more about, I've been, you know, sort of mentioned some of the things that I use and, you know, it has been a real whistle stop. So it's been a rather broad, you know, a sort of overview.
It's been really good. So
I'm happy to answer more questions should people have them.
Yes. Brilliant. And we'll probably drag you back at some point, Graham.
I'm very happy to come back, and if I can help and people find it useful, that's great.
Excellent. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you, Graham.
Thank you, Graham. Thank you very much.
No problem.
Okay.
Bye.